It's good to see you. Let's stand together. Sing in the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on your grace.
Sing that again, in the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, the Lord we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down. As your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
Joyful sound.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God says, our God says, there is hope.
And here goes, sing it.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
And the world will see it. Sing it.
Yes, the world.
You believe?
Okay, here we go.
Amen.
There, stand up. There we go. Right there. Hey, good evening, all family. Everybody doing good tonight? Amen?
Amen.
This is Emma Lynn Haddon coming tonight, making her public profession of faith. in Jesus, you pray for her as she gets baptized. Emma Lynn, have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Based upon your testimony, the authority given to me by God's word, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. You're going to go this way, honey. Good job. There you go. Man, it's been 90 days since I've done a baptism at Olive Baptist Church. I just counted it up. It's good to be back. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this young girl tonight that's come to trust Jesus and to be baptized. And Father, our prayer is that many others will come after her as they hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for being on the throne of heaven even tonight. Father, we need you more now than we've ever needed you. And I pray, God, that you would bless Olive and continue to bring a spirit of revival to this church. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John. Thank you for being here and in your seat. Delighted that you're here with us for this worship time. Delighted to see these as the baptismal waters stir, and grateful to God for that. Maybe you're here and you need to talk to somebody about being baptized. At the end of the service tonight, I'll be right down here at this table. You drop by. We'd love to have you stop by. We'll talk to you about knowing the Lord, about trusting him, about joining the church, about baptism. Just come by. We'd be glad to fellowship there with you. That's our next step table during these times of transition. And we'll tell you more about our June, July schedule coming up a little later in the service. But thank you for coming and being here. If you're a guest with us on this night, I hope you'd take a guest card. They're there in front of you. Just pull one out if you feel comfortable doing it. Fill it out. Drop it in the offering plate. Our ushers will come, and they'll be coming up and down the rows that are empty and passing the plate in just a little while. And so you can give without touching the plate. You'll be ready to do that and just drop your guest card in there as well. Again, welcome. Thank you for coming and being here in this place. Let's rise together. I think we're going to sing together, John, Come Thou Fount. Amen. That'll be good. Let's stand together and let's sing.
Invite the Lord to be among us tonight, to move with power. We believe that he is here. So sing this great old hymn with all your heart, Come Fount of Every Blessing.
Come out, fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Set me free.
We'll sing it. Come out, fount. Come out, King.
Come out, fount. Come out, King.
Become more aware.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence.
Let's experience
the glory of your goodness.
Holy Spirit,
Lord,
you are.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Comfort this place and fill the atmosphere.
Oh, how we need
your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
Hey, John, I want us to sing that again in a moment. This is, in the church calendar, Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to preach about it tonight out of Acts 1 and 2. We don't talk as much about Pentecost Sunday as we do Easter. But Pentecost always comes 50 days after Easter, 7 Sabbaths and a day. 50 days. The word Pentecost means 50. It's one of the 8 festivals. We're going to talk about those tonight. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. The fire of God fell. Sound like a wind. And yet, there was no breeze, just a sound. Then there were cloven tongues of fire that set on them. They went out changed because the Spirit of God had fallen on them. We need the Spirit of God in the inner man tonight. Yes, we do. We're going to give our offering after we sing this song and I say amen. Thank you for bringing food tonight. We're going to have a great food distribution over in the Warrington, Pensacola High School area coming up next weekend. Thank you for doing that. Many of you giving toward that. Thank you for your tithe and offering. I got here about 3:30 this afternoon, and there was a lady walking in the door, and she handed me her offering envelope and two bags of food. She said, "Pastor, I'm supposed to be, because I'm early in the alphabet, I'm supposed to be at that service, but I can't come tonight. But I wanted to bring my money and my food." She said, "Is that okay?" I said, "Well, goodness, yes. I got other people that'll come and they won't bring food nor money, so I'm glad you did that. Amen." She just wanted to be a part like many of you. Grateful to God for it. Boy, we need to do those things, but what we need is the fresh touch of the oil of God in our life. I want to sing this song through again, John, just that last refrain. Just telling the Spirit of God, "You're welcome here." Amen. Let's sing that together.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
welcome, welcome in your life. Sing it, John.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Need your glory.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
Father, we bless you. Jesus, thank you. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Move, fill us, anoint us, teach us, guide us, lead us, comfort us. All those things you've promised to do, blessed Spirit, do that among your people tonight. I pray for your touch on this offering. And Lord, as we take that distribution of food to the west side of the city, I pray, God, you'd use it for the good of the gospel and the glory of your name. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You be seated.
Joy.
anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters.
Amen. Thanks, team. Great job. Thank you. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Acts tonight. And we're going to begin reading in the first chapter, the first five verses, then turn over to the second chapter and read the first four verses, and you follow along. We've been looking at the life of Peter in these last 3 weeks together. We saw him. We called him the lying fisherman. And after that, then we saw him in denial, and he's walking away. He's going back to the fishing boat. We leave him in despondency, denying the Lord 3 times. And then we pick up the text as Luke writes it in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, he's writing about his gospel. Luke is writing. So the first account, I told you everything Jesus began to do and what he began to teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Never forget, he gave orders. He's still giving orders. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Then verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." What in the world happened to Peter? We left him in denial. And in these first two chapters, 3 different times, the Bible said, "And Peter stood, and Peter stood, and Peter stood." We need the fullness of the Holy Ghost within every one of our lives today so that we'll stop denying Christ and stand for the living Jesus. The timidity and denial of Peter has now become a radiant audacity to make Jesus known. Doubts and jitters have been ousted by certainty that Jesus is risen, He is alive, He's ascended, and bless God, He is in control. Nervous shrinkings have been submerged into a tidal wave of Pentecostal infilling in the life of the Apostle Peter. He's gone from being a nervous wreck to standing like the rock that Jesus called for him to be. He stopped living like he was on sinking sand, and he stands on sovereign stone and begins to declare the matchless gospel of the Lord Jesus. What happened to Peter? He got full of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened to him. Pentecost. As I said, it comes 50 days after that festival of first fruits. Now, when you read in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, there are 8 festivals. Here they are. Moses gives them the Sabbath day, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the festival of weeks, which is Pentecost, the festival of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the festival of the tabernacles or the booths. And in this list, when you read the 23rd chapter, you find that that festival, the first fruit, comes. Now, what do they do with first fruit? What they would do is the priest would gather up the sheaves of the wheat, and he would wave it before the Lord. It was the harvest. They were being grateful for the harvest. God had blessed, and they were saying, glory be to God for the first fruit. Now, we know that that festival was fulfilled when Jesus became the first fruit of the grave. He was the first fruit of resurrection, and Jesus became the first fruit. We call it Easter, or resurrection morning. And then 50 days in Leviticus, 50 days following first fruits, comes Pentecost. And as I said, the word Pentecost is word 50, and they would, he said, 7 Sabbaths plus a day must go by, and then they would take that wheat, the sheaves of wheat, they would have crushed it, they would have made flour, and they would bake bread. It is the only festival where leavened bread is used. All the others use unleavened, just like the Lord's Supper. But here, they would take 2 loaves of bread, the priest, 1 in each hand, and he would hold them before the Lord and wave them. That had been grain had now become wheat. It was leavened. They would eat it. They would also kill the lamb. They'd kill a goat. There was a bullock. There were several other things they would do. But they would, now don't miss this. Pentecost had 2 loaves. Why 2 loaves? Jew and Gentile. He's about to bring the whole world together under the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Pentecost does. It baptizes anybody that will, whosoever will. Red and yellow, black and white, Jew, Gentile, Chinese, Canadian, Alabamian, it doesn't matter who you are. You come to faith in Jesus, you're one of those 2 loaves. They'd been doing this for 1,500 years. They had Pentecost every year. 1,000 times, 1,200 times, 1,500, 1,499. Here we come. And they're in that upper room. The day of Pentecost is there, and he said, you go there. John's been teaching you're going to be baptized by water. I'm teaching you're going to be baptized by the Spirit. They're up there, 120 of them. They're in that upper room. They're cowered down. They're waiting there. And so somebody brings the bread, and it's Pentecost, and they've got those two loaves, and they're about to have Pentecost. They're going to eat, and they're going to have the lamb that is there. And all of a sudden, they hear a sound. And it sounded like a mighty rushing wind. When you have storms around here, people always talk about it. They say, "Whoa, I didn't feel it, but I heard it. It sounded like a freight train." That's right. And you hear that wind coming. But nothing moved. They just heard the wind. And then the Bible says that the fire of God fell. And there were cloven tongues that sat on each one. Peter and James and Bartholomew. And the fire of God came. The whole place was stirred and shaken. And they began to speak. And every man heard the gospel in his own language. This word, glossolalia, here means a tongue, a language. And you read the Cretans and the Arabs and from those from Pontus and Asia and Cappadocia and from Rome, all of they heard it in their own tongue. And they said, "This bunch is drunk. They're out of their mind. They're drunk." And the Bible says that Peter stood up. He said, "Boys, they're not drunk. Chapter 2, verse 15, as you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day. They hadn't been drinking. But this is what was spoken by Joel. They were full of new wine, and the Spirit of the living God had come on them." Now you listen to this preacher. The Bible says seven things about the Holy Ghost. Five of them, when you get saved, happen to you immediately. When you get saved, this little girl, she got saved a few weeks ago. That little girl, when she got saved, let me tell you, five things happened to that little girl. If you get saved and that five things spiritually happen to you. Number one, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're baptized into, you're immersed into Christ. It's what 1 Corinthians teaches us. Secondly, you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll see that in our text in just a moment. Thirdly, the Spirit comes to indwell you. He lives in you. When you get saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. Number four, you're sealed. Sealed unto the day of redemption. That's where we get eternal security. You're sealed by the Spirit. You're God's. Nobody can steal your salvation. Nothing can get into you to get God out of you. And number five is the word earnest. It's the inheritance. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for himself. He's coming back for what's in you. And all that are marked by this earnest, which is the down payment for the inheritance of going to heaven, if it's in you, boom, you're out of here. All five of those things happen to everybody that gets saved. But now there's two more functions of the Holy Spirit that are conditional. The first one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now friend, you may be saved tonight, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're full of yourself, you're not full of the Spirit. He's in you, but to be filled is to be filled and running over. And if you're going to be filled, as the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, that you must be filled with the Spirit. It says, "Be ye filled." Plaruo is the word. It's a present, imperative, passive. You cannot fill yourself. You empty yourself, and then God fills you. I was over here in the green room tonight. I was on my knees. I was at home on my knees at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm there, and the way I prayed, I said, oh God, I'm going to preach about this. Dear Lord Jesus, fill me. Oh Spirit of God, fill me. Fill me. You got to die to yourself to be full of Jesus. It can't be about you. It's about Him. But there's a seventh word, and it's also conditional, and that is anointing. Anointing. 1 John 2 verse 20 and 1 John 2 and verse 27 says, but you have an anointing. An anointing. That word is chrisma in the Greek New Testament. An anointing from the Holy One, and you know it. Look at verse 27. It says, as for you, the anointing, the chrisma of God, which you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing, that chrisma, teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as He's taught you, you abide in Him. You see, you don't have to have somebody teach you the Word of God. This teacher lives in you. Now, He gives us teachers, and I'm one of those teachers for you, and you have small group teachers and others that teach you, and you should teach your children. But let me tell you, when you get saved, if you'll pick up this book, the same Spirit that inspired it will illuminate it so you can understand it. You just got to get full of the Spirit of God. Get over yourself, die to yourself, get over your petty little, well, I don't like that, man. Quit it. Repent before God, get empty of your old self and full of the anointing oil of God. And I'm telling you, the Bible will light up for you. He'll begin to show you the three symbols in the Word of God for the Spirit. Water, wind, and fire. You heard one of those verses a while ago. They were talking about out of your innermost being will flow a river. A river of living. Let me tell you, he's the life giver. Living water. We were singing that song a few minutes ago. The water of God is in you. Wind. And Jesus said the Spirit, like the wind, it blows where it listens. No man knows you. Where's the wind come from? Where does it start? You can't start it and you can't catch it. It just blows. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's that way. You can't stop it. You can't put it in a jar. When He decides to breathe on you, whoosh, God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. He is water. He is wind. And then thank God He's fire. Boy, fire does a lot of things. It burns up some stuff, smolders. It purifies. It gives energy. The fire of God. Let me tell you, everybody in here is saved. The Spirit of God is present in you. There are some other people that are parts of this church that the Spirit of God is prominent in you. And then, most of the time in the church, there's a minority group where the Spirit of God is not just present, He's just not prominent, He is preeminent. He's preeminent. You're filled with the Spirit of God. And if the church ever needed a movement of the Spirit, it is this day we need it. So Peter stood up. What happened to old Peter? Boy, he got full of Jesus. I mean, the Holy Ghost of God was in him. The wind, the water, the fire of God was in Peter's life. And we find him standing up three times in this text. I want to show you those tonight. Number one, Peter stood up as a pastor. He stood up as a pastor. In the first chapter of Acts, verse 15, you find the Bible says, at this time, Acts 1:15, at this time Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 people, persons was there together, and he said, and he began to teach them the Word of God. Now, what Peter did in those next verses, he said, listen, Judas went out and hanged himself, and so one of the 12 apostles is dead and gone. We've got to replace Judas. So how are we going to do it? And he said, let's put forward, these are the requirements, this is what must happen. And they put two people forward, they cast lots, And we know that they chose a man that they never heard of again. Matthias is the one that the lot came on, and he became a part of the 12. Some people have said Peter was out of the will of God, that he jumped ahead of the Spirit of God. But there are other apostles we didn't hear from after this. What was Peter doing? Peter was setting straight the church. He was being the shepherd. He was being the administrator. He was leading the church. He said, we've got to get the leadership where it needs to be. And Judas is gone. He's gone out, and he hanged himself, and they took the money and bought the field of blood, Hakeldamia, where you find it in the Word of God, and he's gone, and we've got an opening, and we've got to fill. We need somebody to do this, and we need the 12th man. And they found him, and they prayed and asked God to show them, because they didn't know how. And Peter began to shepherd the flock. Church family, I've been your shepherd for 29 years. We've mostly had good times. We've had some hard days. It's in those hard decisions that you find out if you can take the church where it needs to go, and you bring together leaders. These last 3 months have been like nothing that any of us have ever seen. It's the standing joke on pastors' Twitter accounts is, seminary didn't teach me this. They didn't have a class in pandemic 101. Well, they did too if they taught the Spirit-filled life. Nobody knows what all's coming. Hurricane comes, building floods. What do we do? Place burns down. What do we do? Difficulty. Well, we've been praying, and our staff's been together, and so we came up with a plan for these 3 weeks with Saturday night and two on Sunday, and we've been doing that. We got another plan together, and you remember we talked about that triangle. Some of you remember that triangle. There's 3 points to that triangle. There's the sovereignty of God. There's the comfort of the people. And there's the guideline of the government. They said 25%, but now they've opened us to 50% or more. And the comfort of the people is getting a little better. And the 50% is there. And with God's leadership, we've been saying, what should we do? And so we're putting a new schedule together beginning next weekend. We're going to meet 2 services on Sunday at 9 and 11 on Sunday morning. And we still have an alphabet that is there for you. We're asking people to come at 9 o'clock, A through K. Then we're asking L through Z to come at 11 o'clock, 9 and 11. How do you remember that? Well, AK is Alaska. That's the cold Christians, all right? And L through Z, that's the lazy Christians, all right? So the cold crowd comes early and the lazy crowd comes late, all right? That's how you remember that. Some of you are not going to come because you said the pastor's calling me names. No, no, no. We just try to divide it 50-50. And so we're going to do that. Warrington will stay at 11 o'clock. Online will change as well. We're going to start at 10 o'clock, and then the online service will be there at 10, and then it will be ready anytime. They can tune in at 2:47 in the afternoon, hit a button, and it'll be ready to play, just ready to go right there. We'll do our live online at 10, and starting at 11, you can see it just any time. So know that's coming. With child care, we're going to inch into child care. For these 2 services, we're going to have child care from birth to 3 down in the preschool building. Birth to 3. We'll have that. The cry room will still be open, and that will be there. We'll have birth through 3, and that'll be going on. So you'll know that that is there. Be aware that for our connection groups, now many people have been asking me, and nobody wants our connection groups to begin to meet any more than I do, okay? But we still think that it's too early to get everybody together in small, enclosed spaces. So we're not going to do connection groups. We hope to do them as we used to do them, and do that in August when we have Reconnect. But we are going to encourage you connection groups to still do Zoom. And if you would like to, we're going to have Wednesday nights and Wednesday mornings. We have 8 large spaces. And if your group would like to meet sometime, John Huff, stand up over here. John Huff's the Minister of Education, and John and his office with Cindy would be glad to schedule one of those rooms where your group could come and do that. We've got one group already this week. They're going to meet out in the prayer gardens where they said they're going to start meeting. You find creative ways to do that. But for the next 2 months, we're going to stay with a 9 and 11 o'clock service on Sunday. Connection groups, you'll be still Zooming or getting together on Wednesdays in these large rooms if you want to. You just be creative how you want to do that. And then we've got a great outreach program for the summer. Brother Dennis is right down here to the right. Nobody wants to have Vacation Bible School more than Dennis Dean wants to have Vacation Bible School, but we know we can't do Bible. It's supposed to be in just about 10 days. We're supposed to do Bible School, and we couldn't get workers, put all these kids. Couldn't put 1,200 kids in here in these small rooms. We just, our optics would be awful to do that. So we're going to have 15 small group outreaches for children during the summer. There'll be 3 in parks over in Cantonment, Pace, Scenic Heights, 15 neighborhood events, and we're going to be in homes. Some of you will be hosting those over at the Warrington campus. They're going to do 4 days of outreach in parks and community centers. We're going to serve and celebrate, and we're going to ask our students, middle schoolers and high schoolers, are really going to help us with that. And so we're going to have a whole 2 months of summer of outreach in these small group places, outdoors, reaching in. This is the administrative side. I just want you to hear from your pastor's heart. These are tough days. Not everybody likes this. Matter of fact, not even everybody on the staff likes it. I'm not expecting everybody in here to like it, but I am expecting everybody to get on board with it. Can I get a witness? Amen. You see, we're the church, and we're going to go forward together. Some people say the pandemic is just a hoax. There's nothing to it. On the other side, there are people, they're scared to death, and they can't get, and everything in between. We're just trying to inch along as we go forward and be good stewards in our community as well as good stewards in the church. So know that those things are coming. So next Saturday night, I won't be here. So if you show up, you just, you know, walk around the building, pray 7 times, all right, if you do that, if you forget. But we'll go 9 and 11 on Sunday morning. Peter stood up as a pastor, and he gathered the flock together, and he encouraged them, and he led them and said, Judas is gone. We'll have Matthias. This is what God said. And we were, not everybody knew how to do that, but Peter was the shepherd. I'm just trying to be your shepherd during these days. Trying to gather us up and take us all together. Peter stood up as a pastor. Secondly, Peter stood up as a preacher. We read about that in chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at it. And Peter, taking his stand with the 11, this is the second time he stood up, and he raised his voice and said, all who live in Jerusalem, let these words be known to you. These guys are not drunk. This is what happened in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, where God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on bond slaves, men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be, listen, it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone, not just Jew, everyone, not just Gentile, not just white, not just black, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. Peter stood up as the preacher. And he said, listen to me. Every gender, both man and woman, lest you are confused, there are only 2 genders. Always have been, always will be. Male and female, God made them. But you know, for a long time, it was just male. But he said, not only are you young men going to see visions, but young women too. When the gospel comes, both men and women are used of God. Thank God that he reaches to the woman at the well and elevates her. Thank God that he reaches up a tree and takes a sinful man. Every gender, male and female, every generation, your young men, your old men, your young women, and any women that would say they're old. It wasn't a very hearty amen, but I'll take it for what it is. Joel said it. Every generation, I'm going to touch down with the old timers and the millennials and the boomers. And you know, one of the great, great burdens of this church is bringing all the generations together. Let me tell you, friend, only the Holy Ghost of God can do that. He brings the genders together, the generations together, and he brings every ethnic group together. That's where he brings those two loaves and says, Jew and Gentile, all of us. Then he begins to preach the glorious gospel, and he talks about the resurrection. In verse 24, God raised him up again. In verse 32, this Jesus, God raised him up again. He preaches the resurrection, Jesus above all, risen, 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 hallelujah, risen. Because he's the only, only one. And he brings all of us together. I've wept for 2 days. In Jesus' name, I thought America was better than we are. I've relived my childhood the last 48 hours. I was born in Detroit. Lived there till I was a second grader. The race riots got hot. They burned Detroit down in 68. We had moved to Alabama. My daddy's uncle, my great uncle, was a butcher. And the rioters locked him in his meat locker. He liked to dad. I never knew a person that was black until I was 18 years old. Not one. There were no black people where I lived. Still not. I signed a basketball scholarship at Northeast State Junior College. One of the first people I met was Charles Harris. I never knew his name till he was 40 years old. I thought he was Nut. That's what everybody called him. N-U-T-T. Nut Harris. And he was a nut. He was the trainer on our basketball manager. I met Freddie Whittemore and his brother from Satsuma, Kentucky. Those were the first black people I ever met. Sports did more for me than the church did for racial reconciliation. The only way I knew to do that was try to make a friend. I thought, well, they're people like me. I never met them. They look different. They talk different. I thought we had moved. We had moved. That police officer leaned on that boy's throat the other day and set off a time bomb. Most of what you're seeing on television has little to do with George Floyd's family. You don't knock the building, the windows out of the CNN building and burn down low-income housing. And then today the rocket went up. I thought I was back as a boy. I remember the rocket going to the moon and people burning buildings and race riots all over America. I thought I was a kid again. The only thing that felt good about that is I was a teenager again. But I'm not a teenager anymore. So I picked up my phone and I started calling black people this afternoon. I'm talking about people that have been influential in my life. I called J.T. Young, Memphis, Tennessee. This is our first black deacon chairman ever at Olive Baptist Church. I called Leo Day. I just called to tell him I love him. That's all I knew to do. I'm so proud of Pensacola. They had a little protest over at the graffiti bridge. I've prayed. I've written in my diary. I said, I'd do something one of these days that somebody'd write my name on that bridge. You got to be really cool to get your name on that deal down yonder. You know? That's just selfish, but I, you know. People down there, several hundred. It was peaceful. But now, beloved, we're going to pray right now because it's not going to be peaceful in Pensacola tonight. The outsiders have come to town. Before I walked in here, I called the chief of police to see how he's doing. I said, our deacon's about to pray, and I'm going to have our church pray for you tonight. And he said, Pastor, it's going to be a long night in our city. I don't know how far they'll push us or how tough it'll be, but tell the church thank you for praying for us. I don't know what's going to go on in Pensacola tonight. I pray it's all just a bluff. But you can ask them in Minnesota, 80% of the people they arrested are outsiders. You can ask them in Detroit and Atlanta, it's 80% are outsiders. It's not, homegrown folks don't burn down businesses of people they know. Just sitting on another pallet. America has not one unelected leader in our nation with moral authority. There's not a Billy Graham or a Martin Luther King. We need that God would raise up a leader that could touch this land with moral character and authority. That people would listen and adhere the warning. Don't do that. So before I preach point three, I want us to pray tonight. I'm going to kneel right here. You might want to slip out on your knees. And I want you to pray for America. I want you to pray for Pensacola. I want you to pray for the chief of police. I want you to pray for the peace of God to be in the land. Father God, send a wind. Father, let the Spirit of God come. Lord, protect people. Enough people have died. Lord, overrule the reprobate spirit, the rebellious heart, the mean-spiritedness. Lord, I pray for preachers in Minneapolis tonight. Help them lead people to the Prince of Peace. Lord, I pray for our own chief of police in Pensacola tonight. Bless Tommy Leiter. Give him moral grace and authority. Help those standing on a line to be smart. And keep foolishness out of the streets of our dear city. We love it. Lord, we thank you for America and the land of the free, home of the brave, a place where we can protest and make our voices known without thinking we're going to be killed, shot, or put in jail. But Lord, help us know that we can't be lawbreakers either. Oh God, we need revival. Oh Father. Oh God. Lord, like that rocket went up, let the Spirit of God come down. Let the fire fall. Protect Pensacola tonight. Minneapolis, New York, Los Angeles, all these other places. Lord, raise up a leader with moral authority. Not voted in, but anointed in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, old Peter, he stood up as the pastor. He stood up as a preacher, and then he stood up one more time. He stood up as an evangelist. We find him over here in chapter 2, verse 37. He'd preached this marvelous sermon. In verse 37, now when they heard all of this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, there it is, the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call himself. And Peter begins to cast the net. They said, what do we do? What do we do? We see God's work. What do we do? He said, number one, repent. Let me tell you, I don't know if you're saved in this room tonight, but let me tell you, if you're saved or watching online or television, if you've never repented, you need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I repent. I repent, God, I turn. Repentance means you go in one way, you turn and go the other, turn your back on sin and turn your face toward Jesus. You repent, then be baptized. You ought to take your public stand and go under the water and be raised out of it. Repent, come for baptism. Your sins will be forgiven. How many sinners in here tonight? Raise your hand and say amen. Amen. The rest of you lying, you need to come to the altar. For we've all sinned, amen? Well, let me tell you, if you'll repent, come to God, he forgives your sin. He cleanses it, hallelujah. He wipes it away. You ever need a touch of healing? I've come to believe that yellow flies are of the devil. I got stung by one 2 weeks ago. I've still got a scar right there. My hand swelled up. I got my wedding band off. I hadn't had this wedding band off in, I don't know, 40 years. Never take it off. I finally got it off. My hand swelled up. I found out only the females bite you. That's right. I did a study. Everything I read, only the females bite you. And buddy, she got on me. Swelled up. I went to take my shirt off working in the yard. I've got a place here on my chest. She bit me over here. I got a place that big. And I've been rubbing that salve all over me. And after a while, it goes away. The poison's gone. You tell your friend, when you come to Jesus, sin has stayed for a season. And when you cry out to God, He forgives your sin. And it goes away. Amen. He takes all that poison on Himself and forgives your sin. And then the Bible says you receive the gift, the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that Spirit lives in you. He's present. I hope He's prominent, but oh, in Jesus' name I pray He be preeminent in your life. I was just a kid preacher. I was in the Pisgah church, and we'd had revival, but then it waned, and the church was dead. And I began to go with some of my friends to some different meetings. I just said, I want all of God. I just want all of God. And I had a preacher one night. He laid his hand on my head and prayed over me, and he said, young man, I keep hearing you say you want all of God. I said, yes, sir. He said, God wants all of you. You got it backwards. Quit crying out for all of God and just give all of yourself to Him and you'll have all of God. I'm telling you, it changed my life. And I just said, Lord, I just opened my heart. Lord, all of me. Boy, there are times I've had to repent since then, sure. But that was the first step. I just said, Lord, I just give you all of me. And it was like a fresh wind. It was like a river of living water. It's like the fire of God came in my life. It's what America needs again. It's what the American church needs again. It's what Olive Baptist Church needs again. Is what you need in your life again. I'm going to pray tonight. John's going to sing a song, and when he sings that song, we're going to sing with him, and then we'll stand dismissed in a moment, but I'm going to move over here to this table. And when I stand over here, I'm going to invite you to come and come by and let this be the next step table for you. We'll be glad to receive you. You come for baptism. You come for membership. You come for repentance. Watch God do a fresh work in your life. What happened to Peter? That old lying fisherman. Denying the Lord. He got full of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened to him. God sat down in his life. He used him as a champion. He became the rock, the Petros. He wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter. The best series of sermons I got is out of 2 Peter. I got a book out of those sermons. Somebody took them, put them in there, and we sell that book. It's good. I didn't do it. I just said what Peter said. Plagiarized the Holy Ghost writ. Amen. Let me tell you, friend, if God can use me and He has a little bit, He can use you. But you got to get over wanting all of God. And you got to say, Lord, I want to give you all of me. And when you get there, you're well on your way to standing for Christ and making a world of difference. If you've never trusted Him, I want you to come by and see me. Never joined this church and ought to do it, come by. Just a moment, we're going to file out. We'll steal away. I want you to live for Jesus and pray for Pensacola tonight. Before you go to bed tonight, pray for the peace of God to be on the city. Some of our friends are out there tonight. Some of our family taking care of this town. So you pray for them. I'm going to pray. John will start to sing. When he sings, you'll stand, and if you want to come here, come here. If you're ready to leave, you can leave. You can fellowship, but not very much. Just a little bit. Kind of wave across the room. Church family, I love you. Thank you for being the flock of God at a place called Olive. You're the best. I'm just telling you, you are the best. Thank God for you. God's going to use us. He's got plans. And together, we'll get it done. Father, draw people to yourself tonight in this invitation. Protect our sweet city. And oh God, raise up leaders with moral authority. Shake our nation till we cry out, God help us. Lord, move. Move in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room right now. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give somebody a fist bump before you leave. Need to join this church? Come see me. Need to get saved? Come see me. Ready to be baptized? Come see me. Church, I love you. I'll see you next time that we gather at a place called Olive. Amen and amen.